Moments in the Bible tonight, good moments, I trust. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. The beginning of this passage last week, and so I'm going to kind of dovetail off of that and just look at some more things in chapter 6. But let me show you a word that keeps jumping out, a word that jumps out quite a lot here in the last part of this chapter. Look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 6. He says, servants, he says, you yield yourselves servants. He mentions that word twice in verse 16. He says in verse 17, you were the servants of sin. He said in verse 18, you became the servants of righteousness. He says in verse 19, yielded your members servants. And at the end of that, to yield your members servants to righteousness. In verse 20, he says, you were the servants of sin. He says in verse 22, being made free from sin, you became servants to God. So he's mentioned that word servant over and over and over again. I think most of us here are old enough to understand everybody serves something. Everybody serves something. There's something that drives them, something that they want bad enough, something that they love greatly enough, that's what their focus is. And a lot of people, it's not as simple as just saying money. Folks usually want money so they can get something else. But a lot of people serve the things in the world. But more than that, if you just think about serving sin, which is what he talks about here in this chapter quite a bit, someone says, I don't want to be a Christian because it's going to make me do certain things. It's going to keep me from doing certain things maybe, or take things away from me. I don't want to serve that. Then you're going to serve sin. The Bible is really clear when Cain slew Abel, and right before he did that, God came to him and he said, God told him, he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, you know what sacrifice to bring. And he says, and if not, he said, sin lieth at the door. And you might wonder what that means. And it's like, you got to choose. You're either going to choose to do what God says and serve him, or you're going to serve sin. It's just that simple. And somebody says, oh, I don't serve anything. Yeah, you do. You serve yourself. But there's another thing that you see in this passage. So we see that idea of serving. And we understand what serving is. It's if you have a job, you are a servant in some regard. You work for someone. You meet their requests. You give them your time. You give them your energy. You give them your ability. And on their behalf, you do things. So we know what it means to serve someone. The other thing that keeps coming up in this passage is there is a before and an after. And if you look at that with me, he says in verse 17 he says, ye were the servants of sin. He says in verse 18, ye became the servants of righteousness. He says in verse 20, ye were the servants of sin. And he says in verse 21, ye are now ashamed. He says in verse 22, ye became servants to God. And so there is that emphasis of a change. Aren't you glad God changed you? But it's all here. It's all here. There's another thought. And here's the thought. It's in verse 16. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now here's the thought. You and I still have a choice. You and I still have a choice. We can choose whether or not to sin. We can choose whether or not to serve God. And now, you know, you want to go a little further with that discussion. I know, because the thought I have in my mind is someone's going to say, but Pastor, I can't always do right. Sometimes I'm tempted and sometimes I'm weak. And first, don't make excuses. But Paul himself said, that which I would, I do not. And that which I would not, he said, what I would not, that I do. Paul wrestled with that as well. That doesn't mean we don't have a choice. If you told me, for example, Pastor, if you will not eat any, chicken for the next year, if you won't eat any chicken for the next year, I'll give you $10,000. Brother Gonzalez, are we on? Yeah, Monopoly money. No, but I eat a lot of chicken. I eat chicken. I ate chicken for lunch today. And I like chicken. It's not my favorite necessarily, but it surely is something I enjoy. But I could, for $10,000 of Mr. Gonzalez money, not Monopoly money, hopefully, I could deliberately choose not to eat chicken for a year. I would be very careful. I would tell my wife, don't buy chicken. Don't have chicken in the house. Be careful. Those hot dogs that you buy that you think are so good for you, they're made out of chicken guts. Can't have any of those. And brother, you know what I'm talking about, right? So anyway, I could say I'm going to be deliberate. You know, we could be more deliberate about not serving sin, couldn't we? Couldn't we? Amen? We have a choice. Tonight, you chose to come to church. I enjoy coming to church. I felt really bad at about 4 o'clock today. My back's been really bothering me a lot, and I was laying there, and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be hard. And I thought, I know I need to be there. I'm going to do what's right. And Carlos had a Christmas party planned tonight. I didn't want to interrupt that. And I thought, I'm just going to, and I started feeling better. And I took a couple of ibuprofen and put a heating pad on my back for a while. And by the time I got in the car, I was doing pretty good. And I'm glad I came. I made that choice. We have a choice. We can yield ourselves to serve sin, or we can yield ourselves to serve God. Aren't you glad you chose to serve God? Now, there are day-by-day choices, and I understand that, and that's part of the message. But, folks, we're different. We talked about this last week, and I don't want to reiterate all of that, but we have submitted ourselves to a different commander. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our King. I like that song that we sing about Him tonight. He's our King. He's our King. He's our ruler. In fact, He is the ruler of everything. The Bible says, is it Hebrews? That all things are going to, yes, it is, are be placed under His feet. I don't know if you remember, that's kind of fun theology. God made a promise in the Old Testament that man, just think about that for a minute, would be given dominion over all things. That God would give control of all things to man. And so Jesus became a man. And so He's going to fulfill that. Amen? And He is going to be over all for all eternity. And I will go ahead and say it. Sometimes our choices can get us in trouble. In eternity, you won't be able to choose sin anymore. And that's going to be nice. That choice won't be there anymore. But right now it is. We have a different commander. We have a different cause. We have a cause that has to do with eternal things and not temporal things. I was paying attention to some children this week, and I noticed that children tend to be this way. They tend to be very selfish. And if they don't get their way, they cry. And when they don't get what they want, they throw a fit or they get grumpy or whatever. And that's just the way children are. But they only understand pleasing themselves. You and I understand something else. We understand pleasing God. We have a different cause now that we're saved. Well, what cause does a lost person have? You meet somebody on the street and they don't know Christ, and what is their cause? Survival? Maybe they want to find some happiness. They're looking for satisfaction, maybe. Have you found satisfaction in Christ? You can. Amen? And if you will give Him that opportunity by choosing to yield to Him, you'll find that that's a worthy cause. I worked for a company in Salt Lake City, and it became very, very, very successful. And after I left working for them, they had a conference, and they had 200 customers come to this conference in Salt Lake City, and they invited me as a guest to come to this conference. I knew a bunch of those people. I had sold a bunch of those people their systems, and I'd written software for a bunch of those people, and they were kind of glad to have me there. And I'm sitting there at this conference, I'm looking at all these 200 people, and I'm thinking, this used to be my cause. But you know what I had? I had a church down the street. That was my new cause. Folks, you folks are my cause. And it's nice. I'd a lot rather have you than 200 customers. And there's a lot more money maybe there. And there may be some prestige or whatever. But folks, this is eternal. What we do here at church, it lasts forever. when you win a soul or when you worship the Lord or anything you do for the Lord, you give a cup of cold water to someone in his name, you don't lose your reward. We have a new cause now. It's something that's different from what we used to have. A new commander, a new cause, and I'll just use the words, the letter C here one last time, a new conclusion. Don't turn there, but 1 John 3:14 says, we have passed from death unto life. Christ took our wages, the wages of sin, and he died for us, and he gave us his gift of eternal life. It's Christmas time. I think of 1 Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that's, we talk about the gift of God being eternal life, and we give gifts at Christmas, and we talked about gifts an awful lot. But folks, let it sink in. You have eternal life. The conclusion for you used to be, would have been eternity in hell. We got a new conclusion now, don't we? So you see those changes he's talking about here. He says you were, but you have become. We have a new commander, we have a new cause, we have a new conclusion. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. My prayer would be, Lord, let us realize the wonderful power of really realizing and knowing Christ as our Savior. And really understand what he's done for us. So often you see Christians and they seem like, and I don't know, often maybe a strong word, but now and then you see Christians and they seem like they're kind of, Folks, we have the most reason to be joyful of anybody there is. Amen? I hear testimony after testimony, story after story, account after account of people. We heard one tonight. Someone has died, and someone else doesn't know Christ. They have no hope. They do not know where their loved one is, and they do not know where they will be. We have all the hope in the world. We have a Savior. He died for our sins. He's our commander now. He gives us a new cause. He determines our conclusion, which is eternal life that cannot be lost. Let that sink in. Everything's okay. I don't know that Mrs. Spencer will be healed physically, but I know that when she steps into eternity, she'll be healed forever. Back in July, I was in Florida with my family, and this man in Salt Lake City sent me a text, and the text said that Pastor Thomas Corkish has fallen, and he is in ICU in the hospital. And his health had always been very, very precarious, and won't get into the details, but they sent me a picture. I wish they hadn't sent. It looked terrible. And I saw that picture, and I thought, this is not good. My daughter is a nurse, and she said the big danger, of course, is a brain bleed, and that's what he had. And so Friday afternoon, about 5 o'clock Florida time, I get a text message, and it was really well-crafted. It said, Pastor Corkish is doing much better. He's with the Lord. And I know this man. I've known him over half of his life, over two-thirds of my life. He walked with God. I got one of his Bibles in my office. You should see it sometime. He's got little tiny writing in that thing all over it. He knew the Lord really well. He is doing better. We all have that same ultimate conclusion. Amen? We may get sick and we may have cancer. We may go to the hospital and we may endure some pain, but not for long. And then for all eternity, folks, everything's going to be okay. And by the way, between now and then, doesn't God do a good job of taking care of us? You know, somebody mentioned tonight, I think it was Brother Sanchez praying, and he mentioned the right reason to be excited about Christmas, because this is when we remember the birth of Christ. But I also remember the blessings. I had my high school Bible class memorize this verse. Every good gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Don't you have a lot of good gifts? Amen? Just friends and church and Bible and family and loved ones and the things God's doing in your life and meeting your needs and providing for you. And there's some folks here that have been sick this year, and now you're doing better. It's good to see this brother up and around, and Pam's doing better. And we have a good God. Amen. Things aren't the way they used to be. Things are a lot better. Aren't you glad you're saved? I don't know. Sometimes we go through spells to where we lose track of that. I think my advice would be, the pastor in Utah used to say, take two verses and call me in the morning. Get back in your Bible and see how good God is. Amen? I was reading to the staff today out of Isaiah. I think, Lord willing, it's going to be kind of scary. I'm going to preach through Isaiah in the springtime. Not verse for verse, but we'll go through a lot of it. And what you're going to see in Isaiah is, these people are sinners and they will not repent, and God still gives them hope. And he still says, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. We read one of those chapters this morning. Folks, God's good. Things aren't the way they used to be. We don't have to serve sin anymore. We have a new commander. We don't have that empty whatever people seek in the world anymore. We have a new cause. And we don't have any concern about where we're going to spend eternity. We have a new conclusion. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christ did for us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.